Hey guys, Kyler back with Kyler Burrell's Unedited Podcast, episode number 113. Gonna be a good pod today. Fee's Rapid Fire is back, and that's what we will kick off with per usual. Again, I don't see these. I see the email, and I have it just ready to click. I don't see the questions, and I go as I see them, and I answer as I see them. After that, we'll get into my post Week 10 NFL Top 16 Power Rankings. We'll get into my QB tier rankings post Week 10. Haven't done one of these since beginning of the year. Obviously, the normal six. Or wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We'll do, obviously, Mahomes. There's two in that grouping. MVP level, elite level, good. Glimpses of good, but can be very bad. And just no. There's five in each of those. I try to separate them like that. Then we're going to get into UFC 295. I cannot wait to talk about UFC 295. What a card that was. Then we'll get into my 1.0 Power 16 college basketball rankings. Going to do one of these every Tuesday. Update them then. So we'll start off there. And then we're going to kind of do what we do with the college football game of the week predictions. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through, starting on Tuesday till Monday, I'm going to go through and pick the big games that are coming, that are going to be played. And I'm going to pick them, and we'll keep going record by record each week. So that'll be fun. We got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We got about 10 this week that I found from, you know, starting Tuesday. Then we got some on Friday, Sunday, and Monday. So, and then again, we'll keep track of the record for each week. Then we're going to get into my top 5 reactions to week 11 in college football, post week 11 Heisman rankings, post week 11 Power 23, games of the week. Then we're going to get into two college football scenarios, one that the committee would love to see and one that can become tough for the committee to decide on. And then the end, we're back, 5.0 2024 NFL mock draft. And again, it's still kind of projection based as well, but, you know, it is what it is. While we're here, though, let me redo some things on it real quick on this little topic. Okay. Can it still, it's projection based as well. It's not just what the actual standings are right now. It's kind of a little bit projection as well. But yeah, we'll get into the mock draft last. Let's start out with Fee's Rapid Fire. Let me get a quick drink, and then we're going to click on it and get it going. It's the mid-year Rapid Fire. We have one, obviously, before the season when he came on. So we did Rapid Fire then, and I'm sure we'll have one, you know, pre-playoffs. Here we go, though. NFL. So I just want to see. We got NFL. A lot of NFL. Then we got NBA. So it's NFL and NBA, which I love. Okay, so start off. Who is your mid-year MVP? Don't have my MVP rankings for this week, but I'm not going to lie. If I did, it would be CJ Stroud. Yeah, he's been bumped up to my MVP. I would have him first. I think I would have Mahomes second, and then probably Hurts and Lamar. Dak creeping up as well, but I think CJ Stroud, what he's done, not just is he going to walk away with Rookie of the Year, he's in the MVP discussion. I think he should be leading at this point. He has his team, I want to say they're in the playoffs right now. If it ended today, I believe the Texans are in the playoffs at 5-4. They are now only a game back in the division. They still play Jacksonville again, who they've already beaten and beaten bad, and they play him at home. I know people are like, how could you give it to a rookie? How can you not, though? The guy's performed unbelievable. He's going to have one of the best, if not the best, rookie seasons of all time. And you got to think, a lot of guys that are rookies that put up these numbers, they usually don't do great record-wise. He's got the Houston Texans at 5-4, and D'Amico Ryan should be front-runner for Coach of the Year. It's unbelievable, but CJ Stroud would be my mid-year MVP. Is CJ Stroud already top five? Okay, so when I do my tiers, I kind of do them off of kind of how they're playing now, and also still what's their you know, track record as well. I don't want to overrate somebody, you know, and put them in the top 10. Top five's tough. You know, you got Mahomes one for sure. I would still go Burrow two. But I'm not going to lie, after that, it's up in the air. I think he's definitely top 10. He has an argument for top five, though, for sure. I think he's definitely already top 10, though. Who would you pick to start a franchise, T-Law or C.J. Stroud? You know, everyone going back and looking at podcasts, you can go back and, you know, look at pre-draft and during last season. There wasn't a person higher on C.J. Stroud than me. I thought, although I predicted Bryce Young to be the number one pick, I thought C.J. Stroud was probably the best quarterback and the most ready quarterback in the NFL, or to go into the NFL, and it's proven to be correct. It's so tough. I love T-Law, and he's having a tough year. I'm still going to lean T-Law, and that he's going to be fine, but it's very, very close. And then the next one is T-Law. Is T-Law truly elite? I still believe he is. He's having a rough season for sure, but you got to think, this is a good team he has. He hasn't had a very good season statistically, and they're 6-3. If he can figure out a way to turn it around and be the quarterback that I know he can be, the Jaguars are scary. So he is elite to me, but we'll see what happens the rest of the year. Pretenders or contenders, Jags? Again, I'll go back to what I kind of just said. They're 6-3 with him not playing very good statistically because they have good weapons, a good running game, a solid O-line, not the best, but it's solid, and a really good defense. Most of the time, a really good defense. I still want to say they're contenders. Obviously, that game against Cincinnati is a little eye-opening. You know, or, I mean, not Cincinnati, San Fran, getting bullied like that at home. I'm still going to lean contenders, but it's tougher these days than it was before the season. Will any team outside the Chiefs make the playoffs in the AFC West? Absolutely not. Denver's on a good run right now, but I don't think they're going to get enough. I mean, you look at I would say you're going to probably have to get to 9, maybe even 10 wins to get into the playoffs in the AFC. Denver's 4-5. To get to 10, that means they have to go 6-2, and then even 9 is 5-3. I truly don't believe that happens. I just don't trust Brandon Staley for the Chargers either. I'm so out on them. Their defense is horrific. And then the Raiders, let's be honest, it's been nice with Antonio Pierce. Aiden O'Connell isn't going to get you 10 wins. They're 5-5, right? So they got to go 5-2 or, you know, possibly 4-3. I just don't see that with Aiden O'Connell. But, yeah, I don't think so. Does Herbert get enough criticism for losing, or do you truly believe it's just on the bad team with the bad coach? I'm on the stance of wins and losses. So some people say that wins and losses means everything to a quarterback. I completely disagree with. And some people say wins and losses is not a quarterback stat, which I slightly disagree with. I do think it means something. It doesn't mean everything. He is a very bad head coach. In my opinion, probably I'd have to go through, maybe I'll do that next week. I'll go through who the head coaches are and where I rank them. I'm going to guess I have him in the bottom 10, maybe even bottom 5. Their defense is atrocious. He doesn't have the greatest of O-lines, does have good weapons, but you also have to protect him as well, right? So yeah, I think Herbert is elite. I think he deserves some criticism, but the numbers he puts up is ridiculous. And their defense, he scored 38. How is that game on him? You can't give up 35, 34, you know, you give up 41 points. I can't put that on him. He's an elite quarterback with a terrible head coach and one of, if not the worst defenses in the NFL. Can all four teams in the AFC North get into the playoff? Can they? Yes. Will they? No. I believe that Baltimore and Cleveland will get in. I think the Steelers will lose it late. I just do. I just don't think the Steelers will get in late. I think that they'll be the team that gets out because I still think Buffalo is going to figure out a way to get in, or Houston. I don't think Pittsburgh holds up. I truly don't. But we'll see. It can happen for sure. They're all with good records, so. Who is more of a contender, the Ravens or the Bengals? This is going to hurt some people's feelings, and I know they just lost, but it's Cincinnati. In a big-time game, I had this discussion with Fee over the week. We were talking about how good Dak has looked this year. But in a big-time game, it's just like Lamar with Dak. Or it's just like Dak with Lamar. can you really trust them in a big time game to go get you a win? I can't trust Lamar. I can trust Joe Burrow. He's gotten to a Super Bowl. So I'm actually going to say the Bengals are more of a contender than the Ravens. I know it's crazy to say the Ravens are sitting at 7-3 and the Bengals are 5-4. I truly think it's the Bengals, though. Who is the best team in the AFC North? I'm going to stick to what I said at the start of the year. It's the Cleveland Browns. Their defense is unbelievable. Bringing back Kareem Hunt was the best thing they've ever done. Jerome Ford's a stud. Deshaun Watson, you know, he's not playing great, but man, the guts he showed to go get. I know they had the pick six also, but the guts he showed, banged up, just showed you he wants to win. People can say whatever they want. Oh, he's sitting out because of this, and he's kind of soft. I didn't see any softness in that Baltimore game. That's for damn sure. I think Cleveland's the best team. Who do I trust the most would be different. Again, it kind of goes back to the, I trust the Bengals the most because of Joe Burrow. But I think the Browns are the best team in the AFC North. Can we actually expect the Steelers to continue to be average but continue to win games and make playoffs? No, that's why I said earlier I don't think all four will make it because I think the Steelers will fall off. Let's look at Pittsburgh's schedule, though. I guess that'd be interesting. While we're here real quick, let's look at the Steelers' schedule. Pittsburgh Steelers' schedule. Because, I mean, the schedule's a big thing. Who do they play? Do they get an easy schedule? You get an easy schedule, maybe they could. I think they're the worst team, though, in their division. And I know people can call it crazy because they're 6-3 somehow. I don't know how they're one of the worst. It's kind of like the Big Ben year, right? So, okay, they just beat Green Bay. They're going to play at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, 2 in a row. That's 2 losses, so that's 6-5. They're going to play Arizona at home. I'm going to say a win. New England at home is a win, so that puts them back to 8-5. They will lose, though, in my opinion, the last 4 games of the year. Maybe win one of them. And the one win would become at Indianapolis, but I think they might lose that because I don't think Indianapolis is that bad. At Indy, Cincinnati, at Seattle, at Baltimore. They've played a ton of home games, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 games on the road, all against good teams. Cleveland on the road, Cincinnati on the road, Indianapolis on the road, Seattle on the road, Baltimore home, and Cincy at home. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, man. I just truly don't. So predict how the AFC North will finish. I'm going to go 3 teams will make it. I'm going to go Cleveland wins the division. Baltimore second, Cincinnati third, because I'm worried about Cincinnati's defense. But once they're in the playoffs, I'd favor Joe Burrow to get to the Super Bowl if I picked one from the AFC North. But I think, and then Steelers last. Contenders or pretenders, Dolphins. You know what I've always said, man. I like Tua, but I think they're pretenders. I don't think he's a guy that can get you to a Super Bowl and win you a Super Bowl. I just truly don't. Everything has to go right. Look at when they play good teams and look at teams that are able to get pass rush on him and put pressure in his face. I think they're pretenders. How worried are you the Dolphins might fade against good teams? Very worried. They will. They will fade against good teams. I think they're a first-round exit in the playoffs, whether they're at home in the first game. You got to think. Let's say it's the Browns, Bengals, Bills, or let's say it's the Ravens, Bengals, Bills, right, that make the playoffs. Let's say they're the 3 seed. That's probably playing Cincinnati or Baltimore in round 1. I would pick either of those teams. I would even pick Buffalo. Like if they were the 2 and had to play Buffalo as the 7, I'd pick Buffalo to beat them. Is the Bills Super window officially closed after the year? It's not closed, but it's time to get a new head coach. And we'll talk about him again more next week, just because I didn't get that done. But I don't think he's a great head coach either. I know they couldn't do this because they were doing so good, but look at how their offense was with Daboll. I think they probably should have let McDermott. They probably should have fired McDermott and kept Daboll, to be completely honest with you. That's just what I think. Were the Jets wrong for sticking with Zach Wilson? I mean, it's kind of this thing where they really didn't have many options. Obviously, they could have moved him in the offseason and then got a better backup for Rodgers, a more veteran backup. Like they could have got a Heinicke or Brissett to back up Rodgers. But they kept him, and they're kind of in this spot where there's not really many moves to make here. Obviously, Carson Wentz was available, but the trade deadline's done. I think they were wrong. They probably should have just moved off of him and got a different quarterback. in the offseason to back up Rodgers, but now they're stuck. Is there still a route for the Jets to make playoffs? There's definitely a route. Let's take a look at their schedule, though. I truly don't believe... I know it's crazy that Rodgers is saying he's going to come back. I just don't think so, right? No way. No way does Aaron Rodgers come back. But, so he's saying... They're saying mid-December. So let's be generous and say that they are going to... He's going to try to come back December 17th at Miami. But here's the issue. They're 4-5 now. Their next four are at Buffalo. Now, these next three are at home, which is good, but they're still tough teams. Miami, Atlanta, Houston. You're saying they would have to go a minimum of 2-2 for it to be even worth it for Rodgers to come back, and Rodgers then would have to come back off an Achilles and win four straight at Miami, Washington at home, at Cleveland, at New England. Two very winnable games in there, but you have Miami and Cleveland. I just don't see them making the playoffs now. I truly don't think there's a route because I think they're probably going to go 1-3. They might beat Atlanta, but they probably go 1-3. But that defense, man, it keeps them in, but it just can't score. So yeah, I'm gonna say that there's no real route for them as of right now. Overreaction or not, Belichick's time in the NFL is over. We talked about this, and again, with the utmost respect to Bill Belichick, the greatest coach, in my opinion, ever. It is time. The time is done. I think New England is so old school that I hate saying this, but it's time, man. It's just time. You know, they need to, in my opinion, they should hope to get the number one or definitely a top three pick to be able to get Drake May or Caleb Williams. And I've said it for a while. I think the right head coach for them, you know, it's kind of going a little bit wrong now. It's kind of going a little bit bad in LA for the Rams. I think Sean McVay coming to coach New England next year with either Drake May or Caleb Williams, the perfect attempt to start a new run, to be back to being very good. I truly think that's the way to go. Overreaction or not, the door to win the NFC is still wide. It's open because of the Eagles' schedule. Yes, we're two back. The Eagles could definitely drop one of their next three. I believe they play. I know they play the Chiefs. I want to say it's Bills and Niners. They could drop two of three. They could drop one of three. They could not drop any, though. And then they play us after the Niners. It's still open because we have a weak schedule. We probably shouldn't lose the next three. We get Carolina, Seattle, Washington. I think we're better than Seattle, and it's at home. I don't see us losing to them. We'll see. Are the Cowboys legit Super Bowl contenders? It's so tough to say, right? I mean, the Niners game was so bad, but I mean, obviously that was, you know, they played good against Philly. In my opinion, we're better than Philly on the game, but obviously lost, so that doesn't matter. I think they're contenders, yes, for this. I think they're legit Super Bowl contenders. It's just tough for me to see them, especially if they don't get the NFC East win. Because if you don't win the NFC East, that means you're probably playing both the 49ers and the Eagles, and you might have to play, you're probably going to play them both anyway. You know, so it's going to be tough for me to say they can beat the Niners and the Eagles in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl. What is a successful season for the Cowboys? An NFC Championship game appearance? I mean, NFC Championship game would be a step in the right direction. Be better than we've had in forever. So, yeah, I would love an NFC title appearance. Super Bowl is what I think we should be striving for. Super Bowl appearance, for sure. But, yeah, they should be, you know, the NFC Championship game should be the minimum, to be honest, this year, but we'll see. Go through and predict the regular season for each of these teams. Chiefs, Cowboys, Eagles. Okay. So let's start with Philadelphia. Because the Eagles are very beatable. They haven't showed me like that they're not unbeatable, right? So I think there could be some losses coming. So, okay, I'm going to say, what is happening? Okay, so I'm going to say at Kansas City's a loss. I'm going to say the Niners lose that. I'm going to say they lose that game. So that puts them at 8-2. I think they beat Buffalo and they beat And I'm going to actually say they beat the Niners. So that puts them at 10-2. I do think we beat them at home. I think we're the better team, and I think we'll get them at home. I'm going to say that... God, they're so beatable, though. It's just tough, man. I think they're very good. They've just been very beatable. I'm going to say they drop at Seattle. No, I'm not. I'm going to say they lose at the Chiefs, they beat the Bills, they lose to the Niners, they lose to the Cowboys. So that would put them at, with their 8-1, that put them at 9-4. And they went out, though, at Seattle, Giants, Cardinals, Giants. So they finished 13-4 would be my prediction for the Eagles, 13-4. So can the Cowboys get that? Not a lot of wiggle room, right? Not a lot of wiggle room at all. You can only lose one because then it's going to come down to head-to-head. I don't know what that would be because we both would have the same. I don't think either team will lose a division game besides each other. So then it gets tough. So Cowboys, I just don't think I see the Cowboys doing that. Okay, so at Carolina win, Washington win, Seattle win. So that puts us at 9-3. And then I have us beating the Eagles, that's 10-3. Then we go at Buffalo, at Miami, Detroit. I'm going to say we lose. God, you just look at Buffalo. I'm going to say we split Miami and Buffalo. Okay? So we're 6-9-4. So that puts us at... Yeah, that would have us out, though. Right? No, 9-3. That would put us at 10-3. We split. We're 11-4. Detroit at home and Washington. Just knowing the Cowboys, it's probably a split. So I'm going to say 12-5. So we finish second in the division. That's what's going to be my pick there for the Cowboys. They finish second in the division. Kansas City Chiefs schedule. So let's look at the Chiefs again. I think they're it's a decent schedule. It's not really like crazy though, I don't believe. So they've only lost. Okay, so they're going to, I haven't beaten Philly. So that gets them to, what are they? Are they 7-2? Right now? 7-2, so that gets them to 8-2. God, their schedule, it's okay. Okay, so they're going to beat the Raiders, beat the Packers. So that puts them at 10-2. They go Buffalo, New England, Vegas, Bengals, Chargers. Also, they go 4-1 in that run. So they finish 14-3. I have the Chiefs finishing 14-3. Should the Giants tank for Caleb? Absolutely. Absolutely. They should tank for Caleb. Not even a question. Daboll hot seat. Shouldn't be. I think he's a tremendous head coach. Giants would be dumb to fire him. But yeah, I would say he's not on the hot seat. Overreaction out, the Lions are the second best team in the NFC. No, I think they're the fourth. I think the Cowboys, Niners, and Eagles are better than the Lions. I think the Lions are very good, but I think that they are... they're not the second best. Overreaction, the Vikings are a legit threat to win a playoff game. So let's say they get the... If they get the 7, that would probably mean playing the Niners or the Lions. Yeah. They could... If more so the Lions, just because it's a rivalry game. They beat the Niners, but I don't think they'd go into San Fran and beat them. They're the 6, and because I think it's probably going to end up being San Fran. It's going to be Philly, San Fran, Detroit, Saints or Bucks, Cowboys, Vikings, Seahawks. So they'd probably play the Lions. Yeah, I think they're a threat. And even if they somehow got the 5, they're definitely a threat. You play the NFC South. Who wins the... Oh, sorry, over... Okay. Is Jordan Love a franchise quarterback? Absolutely not. No, I've seen enough. Should the Bears move on from Fields... Answer this question on both scenarios. If they get the number one pick, and if they do not. If they get the number one pick, you listen to offers and see who's throwing you a shit ton of stuff to get that number one pick. And if they do not, no, I'd keep Fields. I'd run it back again one more year. Who wins the NFC South? I like the Bucks, man, a lot. I'm going to go with the Bucks. I'm going to roll the dice and go with the Bucks. I think the Bucks will win that division. Should the Panthers be sick to their stomach watching C.J. Stroud, or do they need to give... Well, I mean, they should be a little sick for sure. I mean, you can't watch that and be like, God damn. You know? But no, give Young time. They got to build stuff around him. He's going to be fine. Are you worried at all about the Niners? What is your biggest worry about them? I'm not really worried, but I'd be worried about Brock Purdy delivering in a big-time game in the playoffs. Yeah, I would be. I'd be a little worried about that. I think they're good everywhere else, though. There's no real excuses for them at all. Jesus Christ, what is happening? Okay. Are the Seahawks a legit threat to win a playoff game? No, I'm not scared of Geno Smith at all. Can Kyler Murray still be a franchise QB? Absolutely, he can be. Predict how you think the seeding will go in the NFC and AFC in a way too early Super Bowl prediction. Okay, so Eagles 1, Niners 2, Lions 3, Buccaneers 4, Cowboys 5, Vikings 6, Seahawks 7. AFC, Chiefs 1. Chiefs 1, Browns 2, Dolphins 3, Jaguars 4, Ravens 5, Bengals 6, Bills 7. Super Bowl prediction. Chiefs-Eagles rematch. Now I'm going to go Chiefs-Niners. Chiefs-Niners rematch. Chiefs win. That's my prediction. NBA, three best teams and three worst teams in the NBA thus far. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I got to look up some standings. I'll remember once I see standings. NBA standings. I got to see some standings. Okay. So immediately best is easily the Sixers are up there, Nuggets and Mavericks. Those are my three best teams in the NBA right now, I think. Timberwolves right there as well. Also the Celtics and Bucks, of course. Worst, Grizzlies, and I think that's due to Ja. I don't think the Jazz are good at all, but probably wouldn't have... Actually, I wouldn't have the Grizzlies in there because I think it's unfair. I go Jazz, Wizards, Pistons. Hornets maybe against Pistons. Pistons have started slow, but I'll go Pistons, Wizards, Jazz as the three worst teams in the league. Two overachievers so far, two underachievers. Underachieving for me, and I'll do one in each conference. Cleveland, very much underachieving right now. And Pacers, really overachieving, even though I did think that they could make the playoffs this year. Overachieving Minnesota, they've looked very good. Underachieving the Clippers, I mean, come on. It's definitely the Clippers. They're 3-6. I'm sure we got some in there. Where does Maxi and Embiid rank amongst your NBA dudos? Where is your NBA list? Ooh. Okay, so this is tough. I'll go top 5 for now since I'd have to think about this more. Again, maybe I'll do a top... I'll do like a top 12 next week. Give me... Still LeBron and AD. Luka and Kyrie. Booker and KD, definitely in the top three. Embiid and Maxi, and Giannis and Dame would be the five, not in order, but those five duos would be my top five right now. Can we actually take the Sixers start seriously as being a contender? I think we can. They're having fun. They're playing more free. I think the veteran guys they got is actually going to help them in the playoffs. Batum, Covington, and Marcus Morris. I love those additions. Yes, I actually do. Is this start by Dallas sustainable? I don't think it'll like be like to where they're going to be a top three seed, but I do think they're pretty good. Offensively, they're really good. Defensively, they still have problems, but offensively, I mean, that duo is electric. Are the T-Wolves legit? I still say no, because I don't think Cat's good enough, but Ant's legit. That's for damn sure. But no, I don't think they're legit title contenders or anything. Overreaction or not, Ant is a top 5 point league. It's a slight overreaction. He'll definitely be moving up my rankings. That's for damn sure, but I think it's an overreaction to top five. Are the Warriors in trouble relying too much on Steph? Yeah, it's... You can compare greats, and, you know, LeBron kind of got fatigued as he... A little more fatigued as he got older later on in the season, later on in playoff runs. Steph has to do so much. I think it is trouble for them. What is your concern meter for the Suns? Not concerned. They haven't got their big three healthy and playing together yet. Once they do, they'll be fine. Their bench is a little worrisome, though. It's worse than I thought it was going to be. Lakers, tell us what you've liked so far and things you've not liked. Well, I mean, defensively, the Lakers have been fine most of the time. You know, defensively, it hasn't been an issue. Scoring, and I think that's a lot to do with depth and, you know, not having some guys. And the defense is only going to get better when Vando gets back. I think the Lakers, you still just got to mesh. It's, yeah, they brought back some guys. Still a lot of new guys, too. Gabe Vincent, you know, he's new. Tareem Prince, Cam Reddish. You know, Christian Wood, Jackson Hayes. Those are all new guys. You still have the mesh. I like what the Lakers have done. Do the Lakers need to make a move to be legit title contenders? Now, that's a different story. To win an NBA title, can they do it with this team? It's possible. Should they possibly be disgruntled star hunting around deadline? That's also possible. I think that a move for a guy like LaVine would be fucking tremendous for the Lakers. LaVine, AD, and LeBron, give me some of that. Can Zion ever get back into your top 15 play? Absolutely. If he stays healthy and dominates, he definitely can. I mean, he has all the abilities to. Give us two teams who have started slow who should we keep an eye on going forward. Cleveland, they're going to figure it out. I mean, they've been injury plagued. They're going to be fine. Over in the West, though, slow starter. I mean, again, the Lakers and the Suns, I think they'll be just fine. They'll be just fine. It's early in the season. I saw the thing came out. The Lakers have, what, a 21% chance to make the playoffs? We're fucking 10 games into the year. These metrics are already out? Is there any chance the Clippers trade for Harden works out? There's obviously a chance that they could figure it out. I just don't. With all four guys need the ball. How can that work? It's tough for me to see how it works. How confident are you that the Clippers will find a way? On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident? I'd be about a 2 on the confidence level. Again, one ball, four guys that need the ball. If it doesn't work out, is there a way out? Or will this ruin the franchise for years? I don't think there's a way. How's there a way out? The problem is all four are free agents after this year. You know? It gets dicey. You're probably going to have a couple of them. So you might piss off Kawhi enough. He's like, well, I'm not going to fucking stay here. Look what you did. You ruined it. Yeah, I think they're in trouble. I think that they're in deep trouble. But again, thank you, Fee. We just dove 30 minutes into the Fee segment, which I love that segment. It's my favorite segment every time. I love those questions. I appreciate it. Again, we'll probably have one towards the end of the year, NFL playoffs, I'm sure. So my post week 10 NFL top 16 power rankings. I got the Eagles at 1. I got the Chiefs at 2. The Niners at 3. The Cowboys at 4. The Ravens at 5. The Lions at 6. I just realized that I had a faulty in the rankings. Browns 7, Jaguars 8, Bengals 9, Dolphins 10, Texans 11, Vikings 14, Bills down to 15, Seahawks 14, Steelers 15. And I got the Broncos in there at 16. They're playing good football. Really good football. So my QB tier rankings post week 10, so we'll start at the bottom for these. Just know, guys, I'm just out on. Completely, it's done. Jordan Love, Taylor Heineke, these are all starters. Jordan Love, Taylor Heineke, Zach Wilson, Danny DeVito, and Mac Jones. You know, it's not great. You know, it can be fun at times, I guess. Aiden O'Connell, Derek Carr, Bryce Young, Will Levis, and Tyler Badgett. Glimpses of good, but can be very bad. Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford, Sam Howell, Gardner Minshew. Good. Josh Dobbs, Kyler Murray, T-Law, Geno Smith, Kenny Pickett. Elite level. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Tua, Brock Purdy, and Russell Wilson. Go look at Russell Wilson's numbers. MVP level. Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts. This is a quarterback ranking, not a team ranking. Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, and Justin Herbert. Mahomes. That's the top. The top two. Patrick Mahomes and CJ Stroud. Those are my top two. So those are my tier rankings. Let's get into UFC 295. Let me get a drink and let's get into UFC 295. Again, what a freaking card that was. It was spectacular. We'll go through my reactions to the main card. And then what's next? I'll have a little what's next. One hitter guys that I think they should fight. Alex Pereira defeats Jiří Procházka in the main event via round two TKO to become the 9th champ in UFC history. What a win for Pereira. Caught Jiří coming in, and then Jiří grabbed, and he hit him with some sharp elbows and rocked him. And again, they thought, I kind of thought it was a little early when they called it, but he said he was out. He said it was a good stoppage, so I'll take him at his word. Again, big win for Pereira. Becomes the 9th, again, the 9th champ in UFC history. The guy's run in the UFC has been unbelievable. Unbelievable. Tom Aspinall becomes the new interim heavyweight champ as he beats Sergey Pavlovich via round one KO. That was quick, and that was just quick and to the point. Pavlovich caught him early in the fight, kind of, you know, a little Aspinall step back, but then the head movement, the speed, and he catches him with the right hook and then another right hand after, and it was all over. Tom Aspinall becomes the first, I believe the first, is it the first British world heavyweight champion in the UFC? I know it's interim, but let's be honest. He's going to defend that before John Jones gets back. Mackenzie Dern falls to Jessica Andrade via round two TKO. I mean, Mackenzie Dern, she just looks like she's not developing and progressing at all in her career. That's a rough loss for her. Benoit St. Denis, head kick KOs Matt Frivola in round one. St. Denis is an animal. He's one of those guys that I think is a potential future world champion. Diego Lopez continues to impress. He beats Pat Sabatini via round one knockout. Called that one to a T. Great win there for Diego Lopez. So what's next? For Diego Lopez, I'd like to see him right inside the top 15. Sadiq Youssef. I think that'd be a great match, matchmaking there. Matt Frivola. I'm going to have him still fight a top 15 guy that's on a slide, Jalen Turner. People are saying, well, that'd be a fight for Benoit St. Denis. Well, for St. Denis, I got someone different. I think he's ready. I'm going to go Mateusz Gamrot. I think St. Denis beats him. I think he's better than Gamrot. I truly do, and I like that fight. Mackenzie Dern, let's go Tabitha Ricci. She was on the card. We'll see, though, if she takes some time off. Jessica Andrade, I want Carla Esparza. Sergey Pavlovich, I want Cyril Gane. I think that's a fight to make. Gane, you know, come on. You passed up on the... they offered for Tom Aspinall, and you said, I don't want to fight a guy behind me. And now you're calling him out. Absolutely not. Tom Aspinall, Stipe Miocic is the fight. I know it probably won't happen, but Stipe Miocic. And honestly, if Stipe doesn't want to do it, then I would just go straight to Jalton Almeida. I think he's the next contender. Cyril Gane didn't want to take the fight. He doesn't deserve to get the Aspinall fight next. He didn't want to take it. He didn't want to take the fight before. So, no. Yuri Prochazka, I'd like to see, with everything that's booked up, I'd like to see Nikita Krylov. I think he's going to get, Yuri's going to get back in there quick, and Nikita Krylov's on a nice win streak. I think that's the fight. And I think Pereira, he called out Izzy. I don't mind that idea. But I think it should be Johnny Walker, and people are going to say, well, aren't they? Yeah, I understand Johnny Walker's rematching Magomed and Goliath. I don't understand why that's happening. He was disqualified, or should have been disqualified. He illegally kneed him in the head. That is not a no contest. That is a loss. That is a disqualification. Johnny Walker should be fighting Alex Pereira for the light heavyweight title next. But I don't mind the idea of Izzy either. That's just fun, right? So if they do Izzy, not mad about it at all. So here we go. My 1.0 Power 16 college basketball rankings. I got my Kansas Jayhawks at the top. At number one, they play Kentucky tomorrow. Arizona at two off the win in Cameron Indoor. Marquette three, Purdue four. I didn't drop Duke far. Duke five for me. They're still very good. Tennessee six, Texas A&M seven. I love A&M this year. UConn eight, Houston nine, Creighton 10, Miami 11, Kentucky 12, Baylor 13, Arkansas 14, Gonzaga 15, and Villanova 16. I do 16 in college basketball because that's the top four seeds. So it's the seeding ranking, you know. So that's why I do that. Next five out, I got USC, who's 2-0, Texas at 2-0, FAU 1-0, North Carolina 2-0, and Illinois 2-0. So let's get into my big game, college basketball big games of the week prediction. This is for November 14th through November 20th. Tuesday, November 14th, to get the Champions Classic going on. I'm going to take Kansas over Kentucky, Duke over Michigan State, and I'm going to take Marquette over Illinois at Illinois. Big game there. That's a team that's just on the next five out for me, taking on my number three team in the country. Friday, November 17th, St. Mary's and San Diego State play in the Continental Tire main event. Give me St. Mary's to beat San Diego State. Over in the Bahamas Championship, Miami plays Georgia. Give me Miami. Sunday, November 19th, UConn and Indiana play in the Empire Classic. Give me UConn. Texas plays Louisville in the Empire Classic. Give me Texas. And then Monday, November 20th, the Maui starts up. See, KU plays Chaminade. Not going to count that as a big one, but the three other ones are big. I'm going to take Tennessee over Syracuse, Purdue over Gonzaga, and Marquette over UCLA. So those are my big games of the week. Again, I'll keep track of those, and we'll do that every week, once a week. So my top five reactions to week 11 in college football. Michigan takes care of their first real test. Beat Penn State 24-15 in Happy Valley. Big win there for Michigan. Let's be honest, they play Maryland. I don't know who Ohio State plays, but it's going to come down to the last week of the year. Michigan, Ohio State. Washington escapes Utah's upset bid, 35-28. Yeah, Washington kind of had a scare because the guy, you know, got this. He either got a pick or a fumble recovery, and then he dropped the ball 3 yards before the goal line. But Washington does escape. Missouri steamrolls Tennessee. What a win for Missouri. Just a really good win for them. But yeah, big win for Mizzou as they steamroll Tennessee 36-7. Georgia mauls Ole Miss 52-17 after defense has so it's 14-14 in that game. And at 52-17. Georgia's firing up. They're getting going. USC shows some fight, but Oregon gets the job done 36-27. That was the end for USC. They won that. They would actually, I think, been in the driver's seat to make the Pac-12 title because they would have both had two Pac-12 losses, and USC obviously has the head-to-head. Some other headline discussions I want to talk about. This would have been the perfect year for the 12-team playoff to begin. It's so much chaos. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if there was a 12-team playoff this year? It'd be insane. I really wish it was moved this year, but it isn't. I think we should really still have a good playoff and a good New Year's Six Bowls. So that'll be exciting. Should Jim Harbaugh have been suspended? No. They even said they didn't have enough evidence right now to do anything, and they suspended him. Do I think that that what they did was cheating because you're sending a guy to, you know, possibly on sidelines as well? Yes, but if you didn't have enough concrete evidence, then how can you suspend him? So no, I do not think Jim Harbaugh should have been suspended at all. I truly don't. He'll get to participate if they make the Big Ten Championship in the playoff, though. He will be back on the sidelines. So my post week 11 top six Heisman rankings. I'm going Michael Penix at one still. It's close with him and Bo Nix for sure. Bo Nix two. I have Carson Beck up to three. Go look at his numbers. He's been impressive. Four, Marvin Harrison Jr. Five, Jordan Travis. And yes, I have JJ McCarthy all the way down at six. He threw eight fucking passes in a football game. Are they Navy? Come on. JJ McCarthy, I can't take him serious for the Heisman after that. So my post week 11 Power 23 college football rankings. I still have Michigan at one. Ohio State at two, Georgia at three. I have Washington jumping Florida State at four, Florida State at five. All those teams are 10-0. Six through eight stays the same. Oregon six at 9-1. Texas at seven at 9-1. Alabama at eight at 9-1. I then have Louisville in at nine at 9-1. Penn State at 10 at 8-2. Missouri up to 11 at 8-2. Ole Miss down to 12 at 8-2. Oklahoma at 13 at 8-2. Tulane as my group of five top group of five team at 9-1 at 14. 15, Oregon State, they're 8-2. 16, LSU, they're 7-3. 17, Arizona, they're 7-3. 18, James Madison, they're 10-0. Obviously, they can't compete for a bowl game, which is ridiculous, but they're 10-0. Notre Dame at 19 at 7-3. Oklahoma State at 20 at 7-3. Kansas at 21 at 7-3. Kansas State at 22 at 7-3. And at 23, Iowa at 8-2. Next five out, Liberty at 10-0. North Carolina at 8-2. Utah at 7-3. Toledo at 9-1. And Tennessee at 7-3. Are my next five out. Games of the week, perfect clean slate last week. 5-0. We love it. Had Michigan over Penn State, Missouri over Tennessee, Washington over Utah, Georgia over Ole Miss, and Oregon over USC. Big time. We're now 38-22 overall, finally heating up here towards the end of the year to make the record look better. Games of the week, number 22 Kansas State at number 21 Kansas. This isn't going to be a very well-liked pick by my KU friends, and obviously I'm a KU fan, but I'm taking Kansas State 31-28 over the Jayhawks. It could be worse. It really, if Bean doesn't play, we're in trouble. Number 3, Georgia at Tennessee. Give me Georgia 38-17. Number 4, Washington at number 15, Oregon State. A little trap game here for Washington. Oregon State's good. I'm going to go Washington close, 41-37. UCLA at USC. Give me USC 31-24. North Carolina at Clemson. I'm actually going to go Clemson here 27-24 in that one. And so some scenarios here, a couple scenarios. So what's easy for the committee? This is what the committee wants to happen because it's easy. Georgia beats Bama in the SEC title, goes 13-0. Florida State wins the ACC title, goes 13-0. Okay, so Alabama's out of consideration, which is great for them because they don't have to worry about Texas. Michigan, Ohio State winner, wins the Big Ten title, goes 13-0. Washington, Oregon, meet in the Pac-12 title, winner gets in. So there's your four. Georgia, Florida State, Michigan or Washington. Michigan, Ohio State, Washington or Oregon. Texas would be, then be left out probably at 12-1 Big 12 champion. What they don't want to happen, they do not want Bama to beat Georgia in the SEC title. Both are 12-1. Texas wins out, so and they win the Big 12 title. They're 12-1. Michigan, Ohio State. Let's say Michigan wins it. They're 13-0. They're in. Florida State wins the ACC. They're 13-0. They're in. Let's say Oregon beats Washington in the Pac-12 title game. 12-1. They're in. So three spots are in. Michigan, Florida State, Oregon. Comes down to that last spot. I think Georgia's out by default losing. Crazy as it sounds. Obviously, Ohio State and Washington are eliminated. Comes down to Bama, Texas. I was talking about this with Fee also. I think that the committee would put Alabama in over Texas. And I think that's, I'm going to say why that's completely wrong and disgusting. Why the fuck would Texas ever play a tough non-conference game again? You made that game in Tuscaloosa meaningless. They went down there and won in Tuscaloosa. If this scenario plays out to where you're choosing between Texas and Alabama, Texas should be in. Alabama would need Florida State to lose the ACC title game, or Ohio State, Michigan to not win the Big Ten title. They should not be in over Texas. It should be Michigan, Florida State, Oregon, Texas. Alabama should not be in. That game has to mean something. If not, why do people bitch about teams not playing tough schedules? That's why, if you're Texas. That's why. Why would I'll just schedule an easy opponent then and not even take the chance of a loss? We went down to Tuscaloosa and beat them. We should be in the college football playoff if it came down to this. Georgia's out because they lost to Alabama. Texas would have to be in over Bama if it's right. Or you made the game in Tuscaloosa meaningless, correct? That's what you would say. You would have to say that. Again, they would have to admit that on national television, in my opinion. If they chose Bama over Texas, the chairman of the committee should have to get on TV and say, yep, Texas beating Alabama was meaningless, basically. That's what you'd have to say. You would have to say that. All right, so let's end it off with a mock draft, shall we? So we got, again, more a little projection-based, a little kind of weird. So a little also with records. So Bears at 1 via the Panthers, Caleb Williams, quarterback at USC. 2, the Cardinals, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. 3, the Patriots, Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina. 4, the Giants, you're probably thinking maybe quarterback, and this might be a trade-down spot for them, but I don't think you go quarterback here. And I think they would try to make it work with Daniel next year. Get back to the prior season's form where they went 10-7, made the playoffs. I'm gonna say keep him upright. Olufoshinu, tackle out of Penn State. Bears at 5. Just get the best player available. Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia. Packers at 6. Joe Alt, tackle, Notre Dame. Redskins at 7. Dallas Turner, edge out of Alabama. Rams at 8, Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback, Alabama. Titans at 9, Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State. Raiders at 10, third quarterback off the board, Shedeur Sanders, quarterback, Colorado, to the Raiders at 10. And then the Falcons at 11 take Quinn Ewers, quarterback, out of Texas. 12, the Broncos take Jared Versay, edge, out of Florida State. Colts at 13 take Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU. Buccaneers at 14 take Latu, edge, out of UCLA. Jets at 15 go J.C. Latham, the tackle, out of Alabama. Got to build that O-line for Rodgers next year. Chargers at 16, defensive help, Cooper DeJean, defensive back, Iowa. He can play over the field. Steelers at 17, Jerzon Newton, interior D lineman, Illinois. Cardinals via Texans, Kalen King, cornerback, Penn State. Houston via the Browns, Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver, Ohio State. Saints at 20, Chop Robinson, edge, out of Penn State. 21, the Bills, Cameron Kinchin, safety, out of Miami. They need to get that secondary younger. Vikings at 22 could be a quarterback spot, possibly not. But I'm for now going to go Leonard Taylor, interior D lineman, Miami. The Bengals at 23 then follow suit. They take Chris Jenkins, interior D lineman, out of Michigan. This is where I have my fifth quarterback. 24, Seattle takes J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan. I don't love him, but a lot of people do. I don't think Geno's going to be the guy, in my opinion. He signed a three-year deal, so there'll be 2 years after this. J.J. could sit behind him and then be their guy. 24, Jacksonville takes Amarius Mims, offensive tackle out of Georgia. 26, the Cowboys take Nate Wiggins, corner out of Clemson. 27, the Dolphins take Graham Barton, offensive tackle out of Duke. 28, the Niners take Denzel Burke, the cornerback out of Ohio State. 29, the Ravens go Mason Smith, interior D lineman out of LSU. 30, the Lions go Romo Dunes, wide receiver, Washington. 31, the Chiefs go Xavier Worthy, wide receiver out of Texas. And then 32, the Eagles go JT Tuimoloau, edge out of Ohio State. So that is Mock Draft 5. Again, great podcast. Thank you again to Fee for sending that in. I just want to say I finally went positive. Didn't hit my 5 unit, but I did go positive because all I did was do a... all I did was plus money locks, and I hit 3 of them. So it got me plus a little bit. We're climbing. We're climbing back. I'm still on the bottom, but we're trying to climb back. And again, we'll be back with that every Thursday, of course. KB and the boys. But yeah. Thank you guys for listening. And we'll be back Thursday with KB and the boys. Peace.